Turuntuset tulee Joonael.
And our main topic today is shopping center brands. To introduce the topic, I would like to say that the variety of shopping centers is increasing, and it is more and more difficult to differentiate shopping centers from each other. Of course, there are always a fight about biggest center and the most fashionable center and the biggest local center and the biggest outlet center and so on. But if you look at the shopping center branding trends, Peter, what are the new opportunities for the shopping center? What do you see?
Well, what I can see from the one who does it the best right now, or the one who does have some kind of history. I mean, we all try. You build it on the history of the place, and also the ones who does incorporate the big tenants, because all shopping centers you have a lot of the same tenants, and you really have to tell the audience what you have. I think before we've been like trying to market just a shopping center. One of the shopping centers in Sweden, which is Täby Centrum, which is the biggest one right now for Scandinavia, they're using a lot of their tenants, the unique tenants. They have the Apple store, they have the Sephora, and they tell everyone that they have this. Before we tried to market each center from the name, but you really have to be differentiated to make the audience, the consumer, to act and come to your centers. I mean, you have to have that special thing today. You can't be just one of the rest. I mean, we have in Sweden one Kista. Their whole branding is that they have the latest open, the longest opening hours. That's their differentiation on the market. But I can see that more and more shopping centers use their tenants.
Are there, I just wonder, are there other ways to differentiate also, not just telling who your main tenants are? Okay, the opening hours, probably in Sweden, it's a kind of big deal to have longest opening hours. In Estonia, I think most of the centers are open until, I don't know, 9 or 10 or 10 o'clock in the evening. So it's really, really long time for all of them.
I mean, internationally, you can see a lot of trends that, I mean, you have to, like Dubai, where you actually have to, you have to build in something special. You have your skiing, or you have your Venice, or you have your history, and also that you have some history, the historical place. We see it in Barcelona now with the latest shopping center there, who is being built on the history of the place where it's being actually built. And you can see a lot of that. You have Bercy Village in Paris, also being branded as something just for the Paris people, the inhabitants of France, of Paris, and I mean it's always about the uniqueness, and it's really hard. I mean, I think the center management team here is becoming more also more important, because they have to really know the season variations and what makes the consumer want to come, and what's top of the mind in the shopping. You have to bring out into the center in the corridors what's up and running, what sells the best right now. We have to be so much more like our retailers than real estate owners. We have to know what brings the consumer more and more. I mean, we do a lot of research, but I think we are too slow to react.
I think it's much more difficult to react also when you're a shopping center compared to when you are a retailer, isn't it?
Yes, of course, it is. I mean, there's so many things you have to take in consideration, but I think in the long run here, we have to start working a lot more with the center management team has to understand what triggers the consumer. And we also need, I think a trend that I hope soon will be is that the teams become more specialized. We need online marketing manager. We need offline marketing managers. We need more floor managing people who are out there and understanding. I mean, we've been sitting and we've just been taking care of the buildings. We have to be more understanding. What is it that drives people to H&M and all the, our bigger retailers?
So what is it that drives people into those big shopping centers? I ask it because I recently read in an article, it was a research about how the trends of consumer trends are in the world, and then was said that actually this centralized buying in a huge centers is going down. So people are tired of going to a big shops. They want back the smaller ones, the local ones close to them. Maybe this is one of the trends. So what do the people actually look from those big centers today?
I think the big centers are, that's where you go on the weekend. It's easy access. But a big trend in Sweden is that the city centers are becoming more and more interesting, because you have the historic being downtown area, and you have the restaurants and the other more unique and cool shopping retailers, the skateboarding around the corner. You have to search for it, and the bigger shopping centers, you know exactly what you're going to get, and that is in one way good, because if it's going to be in and out, you know what you want to buy. The bigger shopping centers are will always drive people. But you need that uniqueness, and people are getting tired of too big centers where you get lost and where there might not be a soul. You have to have a soul. And I can see that a lot of the, like Bergs & Village or the new one, which I can't remember, or in Berlin, the Bikini, which is a unique center, downtown at the Kurfürstendamm, old factory building. Everybody has memories from it being a factory, and now it's this really nice looking shopping centers. But they have kept the uniqueness of it. So you have to have that uniqueness and soul.
How to create that soul?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the same thing. The concept of soul is so exciting. So how can you put the soul into a shopping center?
Because I understand you brought an example of the architecture. If you have some kind of interesting architecture, okay, we understand it. But if you don't have an architecture, is your soul then?
Yeah, I think you're going to lose. Then you have to, because it's so hard to build in. I mean, we see it in Dubai, where they don't have anything. They build in the skiing. They build in the big ice hockey rink in the Mall of Dubai. You know, you have to build in everything. And even in Mall of Dubai, you have the souk or the Venice shopping center in. That's really costly, and I think you can only do this in a couple of countries in the world. I mean, in Sweden, that would be so costly. And looking at the centers that are blend and doesn't have it, they are the losers.
So do you mean that if I have an ice hockey ring in my center, I can create a soul around that? Or do you mean that even if I have an ice hockey ring, it doesn't help if there is no soul?
Of course it doesn't. You have to know why. You have to know why you have an ice hockey ring there. And you have to market yourself around it. You can see a lot of shopping centers that are trying to reach out to the families with the kids. This is the family shopping center. And when you come there, there's nothing for the kids. It's just, if you say that you're for the kids, it has to be for the kids the whole way, from the garage all the way into the shopping centers. Everywhere there has to be activation for the kids. Then you're a shopping center for the family.
People, we understand it's an advertising. It's just an advertising. The center was ready, and some advertiser made an advertisement that this is a family one.
Yeah. And then once you come there, you don't follow it up.
No.
You have maybe kids' corner, but that's not enough for tomorrow's consumer.
Do you know any good example of a family shop or family center? You don't?
No, I don't, because I know the trend in Sweden is everybody who has had like a daycare for the kids where you can leave the kids, they all closed because you don't leave your kids there. And it's very costly. I would say the best example is IKEA.
Yeah.
IKEA is, and you know why? It's because their staff, they come from daycare centers. So they are specialized. The ones who work at the where you leave your kids at Småland, which is called, which is a brilliant name. They are educated daycare staff.
Not just guards. Mm-hmm.
No. They are interacting with the kids, and they know the kids. So they come. They've been employed from daycares.
That's true. I was just thinking that probably the best shopping center for kids would be a center where the kids really want to go back.
Yeah.
Because mostly they just hate shopping if it's not the toy store.
Or chocolate.
Or chocolate. Yeah.
Chocolate, which candy is always candy. Mm.
Yeah. But
it's. I think if you want to do it, you have to do it the whole way. And I think we can't. When we plan, we have to be. The brand has to be genuine. You have to feel it when you come that it has. From planning to execution, we take care of the consumer all the way from the main road into the shopping center, and the trip with the story or the brand, it starts so much further out. Maybe even at home on the web page. How do we interact there? I mean, we have all the online now, which is becoming big. How can we interact with that?
I just wonder that we talk about the differentiation, that it starts from home and probably ends also at the customer's home when they are back from the shopping tour. But what are the other success or the key success areas? What do the shopping centers need to think about?
I mean, I think if you it's always going to be location and accessibility. I mean, you have to have that. If it's by train or bus or by the car, has to be easy access, opening hours. I mean, the service has to be there. Now you also see that the trend is that more restaurants, you want the dwelling time to be much longer, so you have more cafes. It's not just about shopping anymore. It's so much more just hanging out with your family. You go there with your teenagers. You meet up a little bit later. I would say like Canal Walk in South Africa, in Cape Town. Marvelous. Has these so many different areas for the whole family. You have the kid, the teenagers. You have the kids. You have the big arena where there's always an event going on next to the huge food court. And then you have the fine dining, and then you have the breakfast area and big box and in a really nice mix.
Anything else that comes to your mind if we are talking about the soul, finding a soul? Anything special that... probably nobody has thought ever yet.
That no one has thought about yet. I think a lot of the centers, they try too hard, try to find and be so different that they actually forget about I can see it in we have a couple of places in Sweden where you have a shopping center next to the airport, and but they don't want to be connected to the airport. But it's called a little bit like an airport, but they don't want to do it all the way. So you really have to know. The brand has to be. I don't think. I mean, there's a lot of things that hasn't been. Been done yet. I mean, if you go to Dubai, you can see most the most crazy things. What I would like to see is that one day we have a shopping center that actually could change more often than we do today, because we have the same tenants, but we need to really get them to new tenants coming in and out, so it's always something new. And then when we try to do it with the RMUs and kiosks in the corridors, but maybe we should build our shopping centers more like a museum where the walls are movable and we can slide the retailers' stores smaller and bigger after their seasons. I mean, if you sell if you have a bike store, you might not need 500 square meters Christmas time. Then you have a smaller shop just to survive, and then you have a bigger shop coming into the to the biking season.
Wow.
So we have to be more,
flexible, more flexible.
Mm-hmm. More flexible in everything, and but it puts a lot of pressure also on the center management, of course.
Yes, of course, and also on the tenants. And kind of on also the customer's mindset, but I think it would be really, really interesting to see in the center managing like that. If I ask now about a bit about the center's branding process, then for me it's also let's say so that at my understanding how the centers are graded in this part of Europe has been that. That first there are the architects and the businessman who wants to develop the real estate. They just draw something that is like a center. They try to fit in so many stores as possible.
Many boxes.
Many boxes for everyone, different variety. And then finally, they also find the tenants somehow, find the places. And then finally, they go to an advertising company and ask that, okay, here is the center, something like that, please do the branding for us.
Yeah.
And then we see that there is no differentiation, and I also see that the advertising agencies are facing the problem, because of course you can say that yeah, we are a family center because we have a playground for kids that is about 50 square meters or something, but it's not serious. No one will believe it. So how should a center create the brand? How should the process be in the ideal world?
I think, I mean, you're so right, because that's just what I was telling you, that it has to be from, actually, when you start the whole process, thinking about building a shopping center, that's when your brand should start. And from that platform, you have the architects coming in. Okay, are we close to, is this a shopping center which has a closeness to an airport? What can we put in how can the architect also be, feel like an airport? Or how can we use elements from the area we are in? But you have to stop, because what happens is that there's the architect starts and the branding comes in after. That has to come first, and together you build it. And also a lot of the time I see that the building, once you start building, the cost for the building, you can put a lot of money into that. But once it comes to the marketing and the opening, there's not enough money to actually meet the goals. You might have a regional shopping center, but the budget, and today you have so many more target groups. We have, and they are really tough to find. I mean, with all the new online channels, where are the kids? Where are the girls? Where are the boys? Where are the families? it is so much harder. But if you have the brand started, you have to start with the you actually have to start, what is it that we're going to do? For whom are we doing this? And from that on, you get the architects and find the key figures, the key value, and it has to go through the whole thing. If it's a family center, you have to build in the family things for the kids, for the family, and maybe also for the whole, kids are from 0 to 15, but you can't put them in the same room because the 15-year-old and the 5-year-old has to have their differences in the shopping center. And you have to actually, I always wanted the landlord to own their own brand and not rely on the shopping center asking for them to contribute, because it's a shopping center who has to take, or the landlord who has to take, who has to own the brand. Because once you open, it attracts a lot of people, then it falls down, and then you have like a 3-year period where you slowly mature into the market. But a lot of the tenants, the unique tenants that we want, they won't survive. So we have to be much more quicker early in the process to be more active, building brands, also see that, change what's wrong. I've seen so many shopping centers, once we open, there are so many wrong things. Things are put in the wrong places. We have two small opening hour signs. We don't tell anyone that we're open. They are too small, so you need them to be bigger, because the only way to attract people and is actually by telling that we are open and we have this and this and this tenant. If Apple would make a shopping center, of course you make a nice case, but it's what you put into it that's so interesting, and all the apps always try to surprise the consumer. It has to. They are so spoiled today. So we really have to activate them in everything they do.
Why is it that the brands or the companies with their small boxes or bigger boxes, why don't they cooperate? Why is it that the shopping center as a whole doesn't have any nice platforms for me if I go there? What I mean actually is that if I go to a closing shop, for example, then may they have their own marketing, their own communication, their own sales towards me, but it doesn't matter that the next shop beside has the same rules or has the same game going on. And I feel, it's me, I'm feeling that everybody is out there by their own. And yes, this shopping center doesn't support them, and they don't support the idea of a shopping center, except that they are in the same building. Why is it like that?
Actually, this is a really good question. It's something that we try to work with, and it's so true. We have to interact so much more with the retailers and give them the platform. But it's also, this is a hard question, because I mean they have their brands and their key values, and it's been for instance H&M. I mean, it's so hard to even get them to put the name of the shopping center on their bags, which for me, if I was the store owner or store manager, I would want to tell everybody that this bag comes from this store in this shopping center. And we know that for McDonald's, I mean, their biggest marketing is shopping or the bags going out. But we have no platform for taking care of this, and I think we're just lazy, and we don't. This is an area where we have to be so much better, and it comes down to the contracts, because you have to build it in the contract. And we have, I know in the Swedish contracts, it's two lines telling the retailers that they have to market the shopping center for X percent of their total turnover, and we can never actually we don't follow it up because it's, I mean, they buy a bag or they put it into, so it's really hard to involve them. But it could be so much easier because we also know that in H&M and the big retailers, they know exactly what they're going to do within a year and a half. So we could ask them today, what's your marketing campaign going to be winter 2016? But we don't. How can we interact? How can we help you sell more? How can we work with that? But we don't.
Probably, I don't know. Probably it comes down to the question of the employees of the shopping center, and probably they don't have enough good specialists to do it all.
There's some truth in that, and there's a lot of good shopping centers, and especially you can really see the difference between the big shopping center owners, if you like Citycon or Rodamco, who this is the only thing that they do. But if you have like landlords who owns in a portfolio a shopping center, and they actually give they give the management away to they outsource it, they have no control over what happens in the shopping center, and we need, I mean, this is going to be a topic that I will talk about in the upcoming seminar. I think the big next trend is the shopping center management team. We have to focus on them. We have to make them more secure. We have to give them the resources to do things and do changes. And they have to be staffed the correct way, because today it's impossible to have the same person be online and offline and do everything and be the floor manager. This has to be specialized people. We have to act more like a regular brand, because, I mean, if you face it, the turnover that we actually, I mean, it's billions of crowns that a small management team takes care of
My question is that what do you think? How can a shopping center benefit from e-commerce? It seems to be a trend that is not benefiting them at all, just making people to buy online. But are there any smart ways how a shopping center could use online shopping to get benefits?
I mean, the big question today is what everybody's talking about. How can we get their turnover figures on the e-commerce? But we will never get those figures because the retailer won't give it to us, and what they sell online will never be. But I think we should actually see them as retailers and bring them in as inline stores or pop-up stores, because they also need to come out. I mean, what's good is that I think the trend of people meeting people and meeting in shopping centers or in downtown. I mean, you can also see that so many people, they I don't know what you call it, but they you shop online but you don't pay because you just you're dream shopping.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be there. I mean, but we have to carefully monitoring and see what the next big. I mean, we you see Amazon, who actually has they want to deliver on the same day as you buy it, and then we have a bigger problem, because the big thing now is that you can go to the shopping center, you can go to the bookstore, and you can actually bring the book with you home. You don't have to wait for 2 or 3 days. But once this is instantaneously the same day, it will come to the door. Then we have a big problem, and maybe maybe we should look at our own platforms and web pages. How can we interact with the ones that have good how can we turn our shopping center into a 24-hour shop stop where once when we close, you can still go online. You have to go to our webpage, and from there on, you can go to the retailers, because everybody sells online. I mean, what's funny is that even when you go to a shopping center today, you can see in the windows of the retailers, shop like Uniqlo or shop online, it says. We're talking against it ourselves, and the retailers are driving the consumers away from our shopping centers by telling, please, you don't have to come in here because you can do this when you come home. I don't know. And I think it's something we can't stop right now. It's so fast growing.
So if you can't stop it, we should find ways to benefit from it.
Yes, definitely. Bring them in and try to, maybe we was in this flexible shopping centers. How can they come in? How can they market themselves? How can we get some rent from them?
True. And my last question about this topic is that just to introduce that we regularly talk about our food producers, and especially connected to the Russian crisis, but not only. And my question is that how should a company that produces food, let's say either it's milk or meat or bread or anything, how should they benefit from the shopping center marketing in the best way?
In Sweden, in the Nordics, I mean, there's so many regulations on food that we sometimes you can't even have sell apples out in the corridors. But if we become better in like the grocery stores, I mean, they sell every space in the whole store. We know that, I mean, all the brands, they have to buy their space. And can we do the same? Can we see ourselves as the most commercial place and bring them out? How can Kellogg's or the bigger brands? I mean, it's the same with the retailers. We have to talk to each other. We have to give them the possibilities to actually come out and own. I think you're much better at this outside Scandinavia than we are, because we are very afraid of branding the shopping center for one brand. If it would be Kellogg's or Unilever, it's really we're so careful because we have so nice shopping centers, we think. But I mean, shopping centers are the most commercial place in the world. People have actually taken the car, they go to a place to shop. So I think we should really bring out more into the especially in the corridors and the common areas, but we have to also monitor it so it looks good. And this takes manpower, and it goes back to the center management. They have to be on the toes to make so you don't make the inline stores mad, or because if you become too aggressive, or if it becomes the sales in the corridors, that won't work either. We see it with the RMUs and the regular kiosks that's being built in, how you work that. I think in general, look at your shopping center. What attracts right now, tomorrow? What is the best product to attract the most people in all age groups? Tell the target group or the consumer that you have it. If you have the Xbox release, tell them that. Don't be afraid that the other stores, oh, now you're marketing just the Xbox. No, we're driving people to the centers, and you are supposed to, once we drive them to the centers, that's when you have to tell them to come into your stores and you do your thing. So we have to be so much better at that and not be afraid.
I do agree. Just to comment it, I was thinking about about the concept of having a soul in a shopping center. Yep. And I was just trying to think that what is the Estonian shopping center that has a soul? And then I came out to that it's a place that is not called a shopping center but acts like that, and it's the airport of yep. Tallinn. And it's really developed like a small shopping center with this very special soul. And I think that what unites the place is that it makes us proud to be Estonians. And this is the soul of the place. So I think it's a good example for the other shopping centers as well.
I mean, airports are so good shopping centers. How they work, because you have short time but everybody works fast. It's super clear where to go. I'm so allergic to shopping centers with funny pictograms
that you will never understand.
That you don't understand. I've seen pictures of for the bathrooms, which are so unclear that you don't know if it's in the elevator or if it's the bathroom. I've seen dads and moms running with their kids trying to find the bathroom, and if we can't be more clear than that, it's really ridiculous. But the airport, they have the same pictograms everywhere in the world. You know where your gate is, you know where the bathroom is, and you know they work together. But then they're different in each other. But some common, they have some common areas where they like. Okay, what do all the consumers need to know, how to go the fastest way to the gates and so on and so on. So I really like shopping or airports, the way they are laid out and how they think.